I don't know if many of you would be able to tell me who your great, 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 and as far as you want to go back, great grandfather was. I'm not sure if you know much about your ancestors who lived maybe 200, 300, 400 years ago and on further. I would say that most of us, we might know maybe of our great grandfather, and that might be about it. He was unknown to us. Many of our great grandfathers, the point I'm making is, they're unknown to us. We didn't know them personally, but they existed. We know that at one point in their generation, they lived on this earth. They existed. They lived their lives. They perhaps obviously got married. They had events in their lives where they grew up as young children. They got married. And they had children themselves. And various circumstances happened in their lives. And like them, we read of this man, Abraham, who lived 3,500 years ago. He's unknown to us. We don't know him personally. We know of him a little bit in the Word of God. We read accounts of his life over there in Genesis, and we see this synopsis of his life, given to faith in God. We didn't know him personally, but we know he existed because we read of him in God's Word. We see it here, recorded in Scriptures, that he was a man who lived in a place called Ur of the Chaldees. But like all of our great-grandfathers, all of our ancestors, and like Abraham, we, like them, will one day all be gone from this earth. And the point I'm making is that each soul, each person, and each generation has an opportunity to do things right and to live right before God and give themselves to God, to serve God with all of their hearts, with all of their soul, with all their mind. Abraham was one of those men in the past, one of those men in his generation who stood out and he made a difference. While the world then loved the sin, as the world does still today, while people then loved sin that swamped their lives, Abraham, he was one who fled and he got out of sin and he got into the place where God wanted him to be. And it's a wonderful thought to think of that the same God who brought Abraham out and who brought Abraham into where he wanted him to be is the same God who brings people out and in today in this society. That's a wonderful thought. He takes men and women out of a path of destruction, a destruction of sin, a path that leads to the destruction of sin, and he leads them in the paths of righteousness, even for his own name's sake. He leads them in a path where there is order and control given to that individual by the divine God, which we read of in the Word of God. He's a God who takes men and women and young people and children out of a life where promises are broken, and he brings them in to a path where promises are planned, put in place and fulfilled by God as they had been planned at the start. Today in the same world, sinners are being called out from sin and they're giving the wonderful instrument of faith by the power of the Holy Spirit to place that faith in the Lord. That's a wonderful thing that God calls out sinners by giving them by the power of His Spirit the instrument of faith that they may exercise their faith in the God who we read of in God's Word. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, faith, it gives us the definition of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That word substance speaks of having confidence or having assurance. So it's speaking of having assurance or confidence of those things that are hoped for. And it's the evidence. Faith literally is the evidence of those things that are not seen. A child of God has faith in God. That is the evidence of those things that we cannot see. That is the evidence that there is a God who we read of, the God who we read of in the Word of God, as we've been speaking of. The life of faith can be described as a journey. It's a journey that heads in the direction of holiness, righteous living, striving towards godliness, which we were thinking this morning about Titus and the theme of that book, striving towards godliness. Genesis chapter 12, if you want to turn to Genesis 12, we find different verbs, doing words, of Abraham's life, at least a part of his life. And it describes how when we live the life of faith, we're always on the move. We are always to be going forward. Hebrews chapter 12, or Genesis chapter 12, and the verse 4, we read, Abraham departed. Verse 4, it says he departed. Verse 5 says Abraham took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered. And if you go on down a little bit further, it says, and they went forth. They went forth to go into the land of Canaan. If you look at verse 6, it says, Abram and Abram passed through. He passed through. If you look at verse 8, it says, and he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east side, on the east of Bethel. He removed. There's another doing word. He's on the go. And if you look at verse 9, it says there in verse 9, and Abram journeyed. He journeyed. So the life of faith is like a journey. And if you look at Hebrews then, back over to Hebrews chapter 11 and the verse 9, we read then of where Abraham settled eventually, which we'll think of tonight, but it says there in verse 9, by faith he sojourned. He sojourned in the land of promise. And the word sojourn there speaks of a pilgrim. In other words, a pilgrim is a stranger living in a strange land. So that's when it's speaking there of Abraham living by faith or sojourning in the land of promise. He is a pilgrim, he is a stranger living in a strange land. And there he was, living in that strange land, fulfilling the plan that God had for him, which we'll get into in a moment or two. But life, the life of faith is one that moves forward. But while we move forward, there are times where there can be challenges and there will be difficulties. People, sometimes when they think of, ponder over the thoughts of what they must do to come to Christ, and they think of after that, they sometimes think, well, perhaps this will be a good move for me. I'll never be sad again. I'll never have any more down experiences. Well, that would be a lie. Because there will be challenges, there will be troubles. I said in my testimony, there's times that you find were difficult. But the difference is we have one who cares for us and one who we depend upon to bring us through those trials. One who cares for us. One who draws alongside with us. Abraham then, he faced different trials. He faced different difficulties that we can't go into tonight. But just briefly, he did go to the land of Canaan. There was a famine in the land of Canaan after he got there. And they decided to go down, spiritually down, which speaks is symbolic of going down to Egypt. It speaks symbolically of going down spiritually. He went down to Egypt, where he shouldn't have gone. But God brought him back, and the Lord used that to try him and make him stronger for the future, that he wouldn't make that mistake again. That was just one example. We can't give too many more. But Abraham, as he sojourned in the land of promise, literally, his whole life, we see at verse 10 in Hebrews 11, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That word looked means waited. He waited. He waited for the city. What city? He waited for heaven. He waited for that day where he would meet his maker. That's what he was waiting for as he lived his life before God. That city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham was given a promise. He was given promises. If you look at verse 9, we read part of it a minute ago, but it says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Back in Genesis chapter 12, in the end of verse 1, we read of how the Lord had promised Abraham that he would bring him unto a land that I will show thee. This was a land that would be good for Abraham to be in. This was the land where God wanted Abraham to be. This would be a place where Abraham would be in the will of God. And of course today, it's symbolic for the believer, the land of Israel, because the land of Israel speaks of the believer, how we are the land of Israel speaks of how the believer has all of the benefits and all the blessings that are given to the believer when they are united in who? In the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham is a man who would go to that place where God wanted him to be. I wonder, are you at that place where God commands us to be united to Jesus Christ, to repent, to turn from sin and come into union with Christ? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So he was given this land. I wonder, do you have this blessing that was also promised to Abraham? Look at verse 17. It speaks of Abraham, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, speaking of the time where he took Isaac up Mount Moriah, and he was challenged by the Lord, he was put to the test, and the Lord wanted to prove his faith to offer up his own son, Isaac, as a sacrifice. And it says, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. You see where we're going with this? Abraham was promised something very special. In Genesis 12, at the end of verse 3, the Lord said to Abraham, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. This was something that was going to concern Abraham, but it was going to concern the rest of the world throughout all the ages that would ever come into being. And even today, we who are here in this generation. This was the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through Abraham's seed, out of his family line of descendants, out of his family tree, if you like, there would be one who would come and be a blessing to the whole world. The Lord Jesus would come into the world and take on humanity and live amongst men, live that perfect life and be obedient, even to go to the cross. This blessing that was promised to Abraham, the blessing of the Messiah, the sent one of God, Jesus Christ, it was of great importance to Abraham, and it was to be. By faith he would claim this promise. By faith he would look forward to the Messiah coming. And today, it has as much relevance as it did with Abraham in his day. Now we look back. Abraham looked forward to the cross where Jesus would go to die and shed his blood on that cross. Now we look back 2,000 years in the past. Abraham looked forward 1,500 years in the future. We look back 2,000 years in the past and see what the Lord has done. We have seen him incarnated as we read of him in his word. He came into the world to go to the cross, to die for sinners. This blessing that was given to Abraham 3,500 years ago affects you and affects me. I wonder, have you considered this blessing? The blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ. He would be a blessing because he would save his people from their sins. That's why he was called Jesus. He was called Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. He would be the Savior who would die and give his life a ransom for many. Abraham, he could have turned his back on this promise that was given to him. Why? Well, we know that through the scriptures that Sarah, it says in verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Sarah couldn't have any children. At this point, at this stage, when he was given this promise, whenever he was near of the Chaldees, she couldn't have children. She was barren. And so Abraham could have turned his back and said, Lord, my wife can't have children. There's no way there can come this blessing through Isaac. But no, Abraham was one, even though it might have seemed, humanly speaking, impossible, he saw God as the great God who would lead and who would guide and who would direct. Abraham could have turned his back on the promise, but you know, when we think of the blessing of Christ today in our generation, when we think of this promise that's given to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for us to be saved, we can't just grab the promise. Abraham could have, he could have said in another sense, well, I'll take the promise and kept living whatever way he liked, but we can't do that. You see, there's a condition. He was given a promise, but there's a condition for Abraham to do something, and it's found in verse 8. By faith, Abram, when he was called to go out into a place. Read it very carefully. He was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance. He had to get out from where he was, and he had to get into the place where God wanted him to be. He couldn't stay where he was. Where was he? He was in Ur of the Chaldees. Ur of the Chaldees. Ur of the Chaldees, as far as I'm aware, is talking to somebody who was in Iraq as a soldier. He's a Christian man. And he was in Iraq as a soldier a few years ago. And he had the opportunity to go to Ur of the Chaldees. And he found out some information about Ur of the Chaldees. And he found out, just a simple thought really, of how it was quite a well-advanced city. They were up to date as much as we are today. They might have had all the technology that we have today. But in regards to the supply of water, the supply of their daily needs that they had, they were quite well advanced in their day. This was a good place to be. It was a safe place to be. This was a place where everybody was well provided for. Well, they had much wealth, seemed to have much wealth, and perhaps there were those who were poor, but they could get through day by day. They were well advanced in their society. In material things, they were wealthy. But what sort of place was Ur of the Chaldees spiritually? They were spiritually low. There was great poverty spiritually. Over there in Joshua 24 and verse 2, Joshua 24 verse 2, it speaks of Terah. Terah was Abraham's father. And it says of Terah, and another man is mentioned as well, that they served other gods. They served other gods. This was the spiritual state of this place, of this city, Ur of the Chaldees. They served other gods. While there was much wealth and material things, there was great spiritual poverty. And so for God to use Abraham, he had to get out from where he was. If Abraham was to inherit the promise, inherit the land of Israel, and see the blessing of Christ come through his seed, through the seed of Isaac, he had to get out of his sin. If not, he was not entitled to the promise. Look at verse 6 in Hebrews 11. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. He couldn't claim, he couldn't receive these promises, or he couldn't have this blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into the world if he didn't place his faith and his trust in God and believe in God and walk after God and obey him. There's nothing special about Abraham. Nothing special. He was another sinner. He had fallen short of the glory of God, but yet God, he chose him. Even though he had fallen as part of mankind because of Adam, the human representative of the human race, the Lord didn't have to choose him. You think of the humility of Christ, how he would come out of the line, descendants even of Abraham. It's a wonderful thing that God then saw fit to call Abraham, and he looked forward into the future with his eternal plan that he had to send Christ into the world, to go to the cross and to die, live that perfect life, and be obedient unto death on the cross. God gives us the promise in his word. This promise, think of this promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But he gives us a condition that we must turn from sin. We must turn from our sinful lives, and we must place our faith, exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's by faith are you saved through faith. God, who convicts by the power of the Spirit, causes the sinner to trust in the Lord and to place his whole self and can do nothing else but lean completely on God. So what does Abraham do? Look at his decision. Think of his decision. It says there in verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Abraham, he obeyed. Many people don't like making decisions today. They don't want to take time to think about their own selves and think about where they are in life and take things into consideration, especially about spiritual things. People just continue in what they're doing and they let others make decisions sometimes for them and they just follow their leading. I remember the little Ribena advert that used to be on when I was a child where you saw the great big giant of a man walking about with a Ribena bottle and all the children walking behind him. And everything he said, all the children said. I don't know if anybody of you remember that advert. But everything he said, the children said. And whatever way he walked, whatever he did, the children walked the same way and they did the same thing. And people are like that in this world. They're like that in this society. They follow the crowd. They follow the majority. You see, the majority of the world, they're lost in sin. Jesus said about the narrow way, few there be that find it. There's a minority in this world who take time to think and are challenged by the Holy Spirit. And there's many today who are still lost out in sin. But Abraham, who was a minority, who was one in that great city of Ur of the Chaldees, he was called out to do something special, to go out and lead a great nation. To go out and see, well, he wouldn't see in his earthly life, but he would by faith claim the promise that Christ would come out of his line of descendants in the future, where he would then be in heaven, but the rest of the world would still be going on, but Christ would come. And by faith he claimed the promise and he obeyed. A.W. Tozer, he said, "The man that believes will obey." The man that believes will obey. I wonder, do you believe in the Lord? Do you believe God's word? If you believe God's word, you'll obey it in your life. We thought of Talkative, the character out of Pilgrim's Progress this morning. We thought of him. He was one who didn't display outwardly his Christianity. He talked a lot about religion, but he didn't have religion in his heart, true religion in Christ Jesus. And you know, we can be like that. That can happen. There might be one who is like that today. But we must live out our lives. We must live out our lives with true spirituality. It must come from within. I wonder, have you faith in the Lord Jesus? Faith cometh by hearing, you know. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God convicts through the preaching of his word. Take time to consider what the Bible teaches. Abraham, it says in Genesis 15 verse 6, he believed in the Lord. That literally reads, he put faith in Jehovah. And you know what it says after that? It says, he, that is God, counted it to him for righteousness. Abraham, he had faith in the Lord. His faith in the Lord is what declared him righteous. God implanting faith in his heart to turn unto himself is what justified him. It's what sanctified him. It's what set him apart. It's what saved him, because he exercised faith in the true and living God. The same faith Abraham had can be exercised today. God gives you faith. Claim the promise of God's word. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Abraham, we're not sure exactly, I don't believe, what age he left Ur of the Chaldees at, but we know he stopped halfway at a place called Haran. A place called Haran, which was north of Israel before he went down into Israel. Halfway between Ur of the Chaldees and Israel, that 1,000-mile journey, halfway there, we know he left Haran at the age of 75. Abraham, he died at 175. Abraham, therefore, he had over 100 years to serve the Lord. He lived a little bit longer than we do today. What could he not do for the Lord in that time? But listen, now it's down to you. This is your opportunity to seek Christ if you haven't yet found him. And God's people, this is our opportunity to serve him. This is our opportunity to give ourselves to him and serve him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all our strength. May we give ourselves to God in these days and turn away from sin and not go along with the rest of the world that believes there's a future in sin, a happiness in sin. There's not. It leads to eternal destruction, but may we follow the path of God where there's order, where there's direction given, and we're guided by the Holy Spirit. I trust that you will turn from sin if you have not as yet and depend on Christ. And those of God's people, help us to press forward into the work and be involved and give ourselves to God from our own hearts and also in the work of God.